Welcome back. Weekend Game Plan on TSN 690. We're here until 9 a.m. A reminder that we have Amy Walsh coming up to talk some CF Montreal in a little bit. Let us now talk to our next guest. I believe we have Marco D'Amico from Montreal Hockey Now with us. MN D'Amico on Twitter if you want to follow him there. Hey, Marco, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Very well. Good to have you with us here on this Father's Day Sunday, or you want to call it Grand Prix Sunday, whatever the term is. It's not raining, right? So that's a good thing.
Yeah, no, it's definitely been a process the last couple of days. I actually, in the front of my yard is completely ripped out for renovation, so it's giant puddles everywhere from the torrential rain we've had this last couple of days.
Oh my gosh. We have the draft coming up July 7th and 8th. Then it'll be free agency. So a bit of a lull period right now in terms of hockey news off the ice. Obviously, the story being certainly that Colorado is up 2-0. You've had a few days to digest and write about for Montreal Hockey Now, the Weber situation. The one thing I want you to explain to our listeners, Marco, is, you know, we hear, well, there's LTIR, so what's the big deal? They could have just left Weber on LTIR and it doesn't affect the cap situation. Why was this move by Kent Hughes, Weber for Dadonov, so good?
It was good for both parties. I will state this, but I think it's better for Montreal than it is for Vegas in the sense that obviously a $7.8 million cap hit on your books for, you know, four more seasons is not ideal, especially when you're trying to build a roster and get some form of flexibility. Because as we saw last season, the Canadiens were fortunate; they had $18 million in LTIR because of Shea Weber's $7.8 million contract and Carey Price's $10.5 million contract. But if the Canadiens were going to try to move one, as Kent Hughes said, having both of those players on LTIR, teams would have been far more aggressive in trying to extract an additional asset from the Montreal Canadiens because they would have been between a rock and a hard place. Why? Because you cannot accrue cap space on LTIR. Your LTIR is what you have. And if you want to improve your team, it has to be money in, money out. And that, you know, that limits trades. And that's the reason why we saw over the last year, not particularly this trade deadline because other teams got involved, but over the last year, there's been fewer trades because a lot of the league is spending up to the cap and it removes any kind of flexibility they may have. And I think a guy like Kent Hughes, who is an agent, who knows what's coming, the cap is set to go up possibly in 2 to 3 years. And that is probably when Montreal is going to be taking off in terms of their roster reconstruction. And at the same time, a lot of the guys that are coming in now or are about to be drafted will need to be re-signed by that point. And you want to make sure that you have that flexibility. And in 2 to 3 years, Shea Weber's deal would have still been on the books. And we don't know what's going to happen with Carey Price, right? And that's the biggest thing that Kent Hughes. Without having any visibility on Carey Price, we have to be proactive on this. And they were able to trade a contract like Shea Weber's that many believed the Canadiens would have to add sweetener to move for a guy like Dadonov, who, you know, for all intents and purposes, could be another reclamation project like Thomas Tatar was. And I'm not saying he's going to put up 70 points, but 1 year contract, $5 million deal, which is around what they had Tatar for. If he can go back to putting up 50, 60 points with the Canadiens this year, I mean, he put up 43 and finished the year on fire last year after that failed trade with Anaheim. If he can do well, then the Montreal Canadiens can choose to retain 50% of his salary, thereby reducing his cap hit to $2.5 million and flipping him at the deadline for additional assets, turning a trade that should have been, you know, Shea Weber plus an asset to get rid of his contract to Shea Weber for an asset. And so that is good business, in my opinion.
Chatting with Marco D'Amico of Montreal Hockey Now here on TSN 690's Weekend Game Planner, Habs Breakfast portion of the show. And the other big topic this week on the Twitterverse was the idea of Montreal potentially trying to move up and get a second pick in the top three, top five, whatever the case may be. And a lot of people I don't know why, but people dying on a hill over this. Oh, it's impossible. You can't do that. Or no, it's cost prohibitive. Or, oh no, the Devils would never do that. A lot of anger. I don't know why. It's summer. It's hockey we're talking about. But anyway, Yeah. What's your take on that and the idea of Montreal trying to move up for a second pick? And is it worth doing or just, you know, pick later in the round and continue as you would normally?
I think that it's a very multifaceted question. I think, you know, in terms of the rage, I think it's coming mostly from the tri-state area. I don't think the Devils fans want to see that second pick move, but unfortunately, Tom Fitzgerald has publicly stated that he's willing to listen to offers, and so that will create a little bit of anxiety. Do I think that the Canadiens necessarily have what the Devils are looking for to take the next step in their own rebuild? I don't. I do think that they would be interested in a player like Josh Anderson, but I do not think that the Canadiens, you know, you could, and I understand that a lot of people will throw in proposals that will have like five or six assets for this pick, but I think that the Devils are looking for quality, not quantity. They're looking for a DeBrincat, Liney, Pierre-Luc Dubois, you know, type of player, the player that's going to come into their top line and make a big difference right away. I don't think the Canadiens have that to give because it would be Cole Caulfield or Nick Suzuki, and that's not going to happen. But trading into the top 10, this is possible. And, you know, the Canadiens do have the 26th overall pick. They do have the 33rd overall pick. They do have tradable assets. We've heard Jeff Petrie's name reemerge in trade discussions. Five or six teams, possibly even more from what we're hearing, are interested. Josh Anderson's name is floating around. I'm on the fence on whether to trade him. The offer would have to be good to do so. And obviously, you know, that kind of a move to get back to get into the top 10 potentially would involve a player like Anderson. So there are options. Canadiens do have the assets, and there are players. We know that there are players that are there that interest the Montreal Canadiens, one of them being sniper Jonathan Lekkerimäki from Sweden, who they took out for supper at the combine. There are a few other players that we discussed, and definitely the Canadiens, you know, they do have the interest. And I think this is a good time to do it because I don't think many people are going to want to trade out of the top 10 in the 2023 draft, which is slated to be quite deep.
Marco D'Amico joining us here on TSN 690's Weekend Game Plan or Habs Breakfast Conversation. And you mentioned Josh Anderson. That was a big topic on the show yesterday, Marco, where we did indeed dive into that a little bit in terms of, you know, he signed for several more years. It's a fairly reasonable cap hit. I think it's 5.5, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's a younger guy. So, you know, why even consider, moving him? And to me, the one thing I mentioned to Dave yesterday on the show was, you know, with Bill 96 and all these other things that make it potentially harder to attract free agents here, particularly those that have families and you know, have kids to put in school and think about all that stuff. It's not the easiest to attract folks here in free agency. And here you have a guy who voluntarily, well, he signed a long-term deal here. He was traded, but signed a long-term deal to be here, stands up for his teammates, seems to love being a Montreal Canadian, and you know, sure doesn't finish as well as you'd like him to, but it's not like he's making 8 or 9 or 10 million. That contract's not, you know, an albatross, right? He's not going to be 40 at the end of the deal. So I don't know why we're even having... Is it more because it's June, July that we're having these conversations and it's just, you know, a topic to talk about? Or do you think the Canadiens legitimately would consider moving him for something huge?
If it's an offer they can't refuse, I think that any player could be moved on the Montreal Canadiens that is not Nick Suzuki or Cole Caulfield. At this point in time, I think you have to be honest with yourselves. You have to improve the team. A guy like Josh Anderson, you said it, he doesn't really hurt the team. You know, the cap hit isn't a problem now, but it could be. And I think that's the problem, is that we're looking at the guy that's Josh Anderson right now at the age of 28. By the time the Canadiens are ready to start competing, he'll be, what, 30, 31, 32? Is he really going to be as effective as he is right now? And I think that's the issue. With the style of play that he plays, the fact that he hasn't competed in a full season since his career year, let's call it the 27-goal season he had in Columbus, he hasn't really had a full season. And he's played injured. You know, we can go look at last year and say, well, he played 50 games, but he played most of that through injury, and it significantly affected the way he played. A healthy Josh Anderson is very visible on the ice. He makes a difference everywhere. But the problem is his game will take a toll on his body like it does with most power forwards. And you got to weigh the pros and cons of that, because then you wind up in a situation where you have a player that used to be making $5.5 million with a no trade clause, and in the later point of his contract, what do you do with that? And then moving it, trading it, that becomes a problem. So if you can maximize value and get an overpay because he's such a rare player, then I can see why the Canadians can do that. But then obviously the problem becomes, how do you find a player like Josh Anderson? How do you find a player that's able to play that similar type of game? And so it's a dual faceted problem, and it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't. I think the Canadians, similarly to Lehkonen, similarly to Kulak, aren't actively shopping a guy like Josh Anderson, but similar to those players, the phones are ringing for him. And if they do get an offer, like Lehkonen, that they simply cannot refuse, like a first-round pick, a top prospect, and then some, well, then, you know, I can understand a GM like Jeff, like Kent Hughes and, you know, Jeff Gorton, who are looking for cap flexibility, I could see them kind of look and really think about it.
All right, we got one texter in here, by the way. Picks are overrated. Does New Jersey have what it takes to trade for Josh Anderson? That's from one texter here.
More than enough.
Yeah, I would think so, too. We got one texter. Our buddy Mindset Mark says, Happy Father's Day, guys. Couldn't Dadonov be flipped at this year's draft?
Not something that's outlandish or off the table. And I brought up the trade deadline simply because in the event that they're not able to move a guy like Dadonov. But obviously, yeah, I think that they could trade him right now should they want. And, you know, it was really funny because Kent Hughes was asked the same question, and he used Josh Anderson as an example, saying that, you know, if they get an offer they can't refuse, then, you know, they have to look into it and they have to listen because they were the 32nd team and they need to get better. So the same, what I just said about Josh Anderson applies to Dadonov. If the team comes in and gives him a good offer and they are able to clear the $5 million off the books, then, you know, that's gravy. And if they get an asset for it, you know, that's great. And if not, well, the benefit is you get to play him, you know, with your young guys, benefit on, you know, good power play time in a situation that's probably going to be far healthier than what he had in Vegas. And there's a potential for him to put up good numbers and then trade him for what would probably be higher value at trade deadline than what you would get now. So there's obviously all the cards are on the table. And as Kent, you said, when you're the 32nd team, you have to listen to every possibility.
One notable since we last spoke was the MVP performance by Caden Gooley in the WHL championship, and he'll play in the Memorial Cup, certainly. Has anything changed in terms of where you expect him to play this fall over the last, let's say, couple weeks of what you've seen in the playoffs from him?
I think that for the good of the player, you know, I know a lot of people are excited. I would be excited too. And he's slated to play against the St. John Sea Dogs, or I think the Hamilton Bulldogs are tonight. The Memorial Cup opens. But it's still for me, you know, watching him play with the Oil Kings this year after he was traded prior to the World Junior Championship, he was able to develop his offensive game. We've always known Gooley as kind of this defensive, primarily defensive player. I think that what we saw was his ability to develop his transition game, his ability to quarterback a power play. Those were not things that he was able to really improve on tremendously when he was playing with the Prince Albert Raiders those 3 years. But he really was able to pick it up playing with the Oil Kings, including players. It's been exceptional the last couple of years. I think I'd like to see the Canadians take their time with him to develop that aspect more at the pro level. I don't necessarily think he's going to spend the entire year in the American Hockey League, but I would like to see him play games in Laval regardless. I think the Canadians have the luxury of time. They don't need to compete next year right away. It doesn't seem like it's a major priority for them. The priority should be development. And I think we're going to see a cycle where guys like, you know, Barron, Harris, Jacky are going to be rotating. And you're going to see some in the NHL. You're going to see some in the AHL. And
yeah.
I think it's a healthy way to develop a core together, because at that point you're not overloading one versus the other, and you're not frustrating one versus the other, and they're all getting the reps in and then coming back and knowing what they have to work on in a less stressful environment. I think that's the winning solution.
He is Marco D'Amico, MN D'Amico on Twitter, to follow him there. And of course you can You go to Montreal Hockey Now for more information on him covering the Montreal Canadiens. Hey, Marco, thank you so much for the time today. Enjoy time with the family as well.
Always a pleasure. Happy Father's Day to all.
All right. It's a weekend game plan here on TSN 690. Reminder, we are on the air. We are brought to you by Vantage Mortgage and Realty Group. Tremendous team of fathers. We have, of course, on the real estate side, Marcus Zerzer and Hagai Brenner, just absolutely killing it. Top 50 realtors in all of Quebec, whether you're buying or selling residential, commercial, or revenue properties, it doesn't really matter. The expertise, the intel, they helped me personally and other members of my family to great, great success, and they can do the same for you. They can mitigate issues. They can answer every tedious little question. Not a problem at all. And it's a one-stop shop is Vantage. On the other side of things, you got Sid Levy, you got Svi Marmer taking care of all your mortgage needs. It doesn't cost you a cent when you go with one of them for the mortgage needs. Get that pre-approval through them. If you run a cash business, they know how to handle that as well. They'll find you the lowest rate and they'll deal with the lenders. You don't have to do as much as you would if you were handling it all on your own. A one-stop shop to say the least. Vantage Mortgage and Realty Group. And don't forget about the platform they have for renters. Whether you're renting yourself or you're a property owner and you want to rent out your property, go to ez.rentals. ez.rentals. About 1,400 properties they manage. So you have to check that platform out. It's so simple if you want to list a property or you want to rent one as well. Vantage Mortgage and Realty Group. No question is too small. Give them a call or a text today, 514-772-0771.